This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
An infectious disease researcher is warning that the coronavirus outbreak could impact not only human health, but animal agriculture as well. Mike Davis has this report.
Dozens of lives worldwide have now been claimed by the deadly coronavirus outbreak, which started in China, and hundreds more have been infected. Dr. Greg Gray is an infectious disease specialist at the Duke University Medical School in Singapore.
Well, coronaviruses are common viruses that cause different manifestations in different hosts. In humans, they often cause respiratory diseases, and there are many other different coronaviruses seen in animals. And somehow, this coronavirus has likely moved from animals to infect man and developed a very high capacity to move from human to humans and sometimes cause severe disease.
Dr. Gray says the current coronavirus outbreak has been traced to wild animals sold at a wet market in the Chinese city of Wuhan.
Origins of the virus are being studied right now, but it seems likely based on some of the sequence data, the RNA in the virus, that it may have an animal origin, possibly associated with snakes or bats. I think those investigations are ongoing. Somehow this virus changed and arose, emerged, if you will, in a big city in China called Wuhan, a very large city with connections to many other places, both in inside of China and outside. And now we're seeing hundreds of cases, if not thousands, with very high, strong evidence for high transmissibility, movement between people.
While human health is at risk from the disease, it could also have a major impact on agriculture, as Dr. Gray warns.
Who's to say that this could not get into big agriculture, these viruses, and amplify in these animals? We have no evidence for that now, but our partners in the agricultural community, our veterinarians who care for the animals, are concerned whenever a novel virus emerges in some part of the world that could impact them. They're trying to maintain good biosecurity, protect their herds and flocks.
Dr. Gray is calling on those in the human health and ag health worlds to cooperate in order to stunt this outbreak.
But we need to think of ways, frankly, to work with veterinarians, people in agricultural industries, to better anticipate these things in a One Health way.
Dr. Greg Gray, infectious disease specialist at the Duke University Medical School in Singapore. I'm Mike Davis.
Moving on into other ag news here on your Tuesday, the EPA must reconsider its small refinery exemptions following a recent court decision. A document dated January 24th from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Tenth Circuit says the EPA overstepped its authority to grant three specific waivers in question. The decision is expected to broadly impact the EPA approach to granting waivers, according to the Renewable Fuels Association, which claims the waivers are unlawful. The court ruling stems from a May 2018 challenge brought against EPA by the Renewable Fuels Association, the National Corn Growers Association, the American Coalition for Ethanol, and the National Farmers Union. NFU President Roger Johnson says, "We believe this ruling will help restore the ability of the RFS to drive demand." Among other things, the court says EPA cannot extend exemptions to any small refineries whose earlier temporary exemptions had lapsed. The court also found EPA abused its discretion in failing to explain how the agency could conclude that a small refinery might suffer a disproportionate economic hardship. In other ag news from the USDA, Department of Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue says the USDA will again accept rural broadband funding requests this week. USDA will accept the applications for the second round of $550 million in ReConnect program loan and grant funding starting January 31st. The funds will expand public and private partnerships in rural communities to build modern broadband infrastructure in areas with insufficient internet service. Insufficient service is defined by a connection speed of less than 10 megabits per second download and 1 megabit per second upload. Secretary Perdue says we at USDA are very excited to begin accepting applications for the second round of funds. Telecommunications companies, rural electric cooperatives and utilities, internet service providers, and municipalities may apply for funding through the USDA's ReConnect program to connect rural areas that currently have insufficient broadband service. Through the program, the USDA is making available approximately $200 million for grants, as well as up to $200 million for loan-grant combinations, and up to $200 million of low-interest loans. More information is available online at usda.gov/reconnect. In other ag news, when hemp became legal under the 2018 Farm Bill, there was a lot of buzz in farm country about what it would look like as an everyday crop and who would grow it. It's not just farmers that are curious about the newly legal commodity. Many in the ag banking sector are watching hemp very closely as well. Tony Hotchkiss is on the American Bankers Association Ag and Rural Bankers Committee. He's concerned with some growers that will hear about the potentially high return and quickly get swept up in the excitement over hemp.
I'm excited that hemp is a potential for the industry, but I think people need to slow down and make sure they do their homework, because if they don't, especially on the producer side, they might get caught in trying something where they could lose a lot of money. They might make a lot of money. I'm not suggesting either way, but it's just something that they need to be cautiously optimistic about and approach slowly.
Recommendations for growers looking at adding hemp to either the resume or as a rotational crop. The National Industrial Hemp Council recommends growers start small, make sure they have a buyer, and that marketing and branding is always important. In Midwestern Ag News here on your Tuesday, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in the St. Paul District are monitoring high water conditions affecting parts of the upper Mississippi in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa as a result of historic flows over this winter. Cities from Winona, Minnesota to Guttenberg, Iowa have an increased chance of localized flooding due to ice dams. The high water conditions were created by a combination of ice dams and historic higher flow. The current river flows are at levels normally observed in late spring. Irregular temperatures have also prevented ice from forming in a stable way, which compounds the ice dam problem. The ice has blocked the river's normal flow and forced water out of the banks. It also has reduced the ability to actively manage the river water elevation. Depending on temperature and the rate of ice melt, there could be more high water in the weeks and months ahead. The Corps is working with the National Weather Service and the U.S. Geological Survey to monitor the river and provide communication with the public. In other Midwestern Ag news, a special session of the Wisconsin Legislature opening this week seeks to help the state's struggling dairy industry. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers signed an executive order last week to authorize a special session to consider 8 agricultural-focused bills. They include farmer assistance, stress and mental health support, promoting value-added agriculture, farm grants, and focus on exports. Evers announced a plan during his State of the State address last week and says it's about investing in supporting our rural families and communities. The governor hopes to increase Wisconsin dairy exports to 20% of the nation's milk supply by 2024. The Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel reported earlier this month that last year Wisconsin lost nearly 700 dairy farms. The Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association says the industry is challenged by the trade instability, poor weather conditions, a severe labor shortage, and a decline in milk consumption. Association Executive Director John Umhafer says urgent action is needed to stabilize and strengthen Wisconsin's backbone industry. Moving on into State of Illinois Ag News now on a Tuesday, a number of state agencies are collaborating to get the word out on flood preparations in advance of this spring. Colleen Callahan with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources is involved with the efforts.
We're working, coordinating with FEMA, the National Flood Insurance Program, looking at ensuring that homes are not built in floodplains or built to specific standards. And then, as it relates to teaming up with agencies. We're also working with the Department of Insurance. Flood insurance requires a 30-day waiting period before it takes effect, so now is the time to get signed up. That's as you think about homeowner property, certainly different than a rural landscape where you're talking about cropland and the potential for consequences and damages there. And so flood insurance or crop insurance, of course, comes into play there. We've held events, and we have more coming up that will be open to all Illinois residents. We've got one coming up at Black Hawk College in Moline on the 29th of January. It's an opportunity to learn about being prepared, looking at what your options are. We'll be giving away some free weather radios at those events. The stats show that 40% of small businesses never recover from a flood, really. 90% of businesses fail within a year unless they're able to reopen within just a few days. And so that's a pretty stark reminder of the importance of having these kinds of informational meetings. And so we are embarking on that. They're already underway, and the next one is coming up on January 29th at Black Hawk College in Moline.
And again, the state has already held similar meetings in Murfreesboro and Alton on previous Wednesdays this month, and NOAA will be releasing its first spring flood outlook in mid-March. Moving on quickly now to our Ag Community Bulletin Board, one thing to tell you about. The Montgomery County USDA Farm Service Agency will be holding an informational meeting to provide an overview of two USDA safety net programs, ARC and PLC. Two meetings have been scheduled to accommodate interested participants, the first of which will be held this Thursday morning, the 30th at 10 a.m. The second meeting will be held next Tuesday, February 4th at 2:30 in the afternoon. Both meetings will be held at the Farm Bureau office in Hillsboro on the Courthouse Square, and RSVPs can be made by calling the FSA office in Hillsboro at 532-3361, extension 2. And that'll wrap it up for this Tuesday morning edition of the Ag Show. For this Tuesday morning, January 28th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.